Take your Bible out, if you will, and turn to Proverbs chapter number 9. Proverbs chapter number 9. Tonight, I believe this will be our 46th lesson on the subject of relationships. And we are going to do part 2 of a lesson that we started last week. Last week, I started a lesson called Your Relationship with Reproof. Maybe it could be called Your Relationship with Those That Reprove You, but we'll probably be settled with Relationship with Reproof. Of course, the way that you respond to reproof is going to have something to do with the way you respond to those that are doing that correcting or that reproving. And this is part number 2, lesson number 46. Stand with me real quick, if you will. You won't have to stand for long. Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse number 7. Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 7, the Bible says, "He that reproveth a scorner getteth himself a shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Holy Spirit, make the lesson tonight applicable to my life. May I leave here better suited to live in this sin-cursed world in such a way that you would be glorified, you would be exalted. I pray, God, that I would take reproof properly. I pray, God, that I would have a right attitude toward you if you reprove me. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, even those leaders in my life, may I behave properly and have proper relationship with the reproof that comes in this life, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were listening to what was read there in Proverbs chapter 9, the Bible said, "He that reproveth a scorner," there's reproof, "says getteth to himself a shame." In other words, if you reprove someone that's got a scorner's attitude, they're going to try to bring shame toward you. Then it says, "And he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot." That blot there, it means a mar on your reputation. You try to correct someone that's wicked in their thinking, that they may respond and try to hurt your reputation. And so there we see the reproof, we see the rebuke. It goes on to say, rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. So there's attitude here. You correct someone with the right attitude, they're going to love you, they're going to appreciate it, they're going to respond properly. It said, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee." So here, if you go to bring reproof to someone, and if they're a scorner, they'll try to shame you. If they're wicked, they'll try to destroy your reputation. If they've got the wrong attitude, they'll even hate you because you tried to reprove them. But the wise man now, see, if you go to reprove him, the Bible says he'll love you. He'll become wiser, and he'll even increase in his learning because of it. Now, last week, I gave you some information about this thing of reproof or correction and it coming our way and the right way that we should respond to it, our relationship to that correction, which indeed then is our relationship with the people doing the correcting. God corrects us. The Word of God corrects us. The Holy Spirit corrects us. Our parents correct us. Our leaders correct us. It's throughout the Bible. The law at times will correct us. And there's a right way and a right attitude. There are people in here because you've got a bad attitude. When the law corrects you, you don't accept it. You actually hate the law because of your bad attitude in regard to correction. You know, if there's a law and it's a law that's not against God, if they set up a law and then you don't follow that law and then you get mad when you don't follow the law, there's something wrong in your thinking. If you broke it, then you deserve the reproof that came as a result of it. But not all people can think that way, or they all could. They don't all choose to. I told you this story, and I told you about I was driving over the bridge and I seen one car pulled over. And the person in that car was being corrected by the police officer. And they obviously had a very bad attitude. It was not going well. You could see their neck and face was almost as red as that light on top of the car. So they were being reproved, but they weren't doing well with it. And I told you, I drove on up the road and I seen another police officer. I think they were everywhere when I was studying for this lesson. And I seen another car that had been pulled over, and you could tell there was a good attitude. They were friendly toward one another. They were smiling. And what was it? One took reproof well, the other took the reproof not so well. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, that you just provided such a good illustration of that. And then I seen something. I hope I can get away with using it. In the neighborhood where I live, there are an awful lot of people that have dogs. And I was driving through the neighborhood the other day, and there's a little pond just up the road from me, and I just pulled over for just a second, and I noticed a lady, and she was walking her dog. She had two dogs. And I don't know what one of the dog's name was. The other one was, I think, Bobo. From what I could tell, it was Bobo. And the other dog, I have no idea what its name was, but the lady, both dogs were doing the same thing. And you all know the relationship between someone and their dog. She went to correct her dogs, and she got on both of her dogs, and she got on them both about the very thing. Well, she called out Bobo's name, and Bobo wasn't about to hear of this correction. And so she said, "Stop." And Bobo kept going. The other dog stopped. And she said, and you know, I was trying not to watch too much because I didn't want her to think that I thought she was totally weirding out. But the one dog stopped and turned around and looked at her and kind of humbled down. And Bobo, boy, he was just trucking right along. And she said, "Bobo, turn around, look at me." Now, Bobo turned around to look, and then Bobo took off. And even at one point, when the one dog was just there and wasn't going to move, Bobo and her were chasing each other around the lake for just a couple of minutes. And when she finally got Bobo cornered, Bobo went, "Rrr." And I thought, you got a scorner there. Bobo's not taking correction very well. The other dog took the correction right. Any of you have pets? There are pets that take correction well. There are pets that don't. You know something? I would hate to think that a canine has more common sense about correction than a human being. That'd be a sad thing. But in some cases, they went to obedience school and they know how to behave themselves when they're corrected. Last week, we got to talking about this thing of correction. Correction is your friend. Don't hate your friend. Correction will help you. Don't reject the help. Pride keeps us from receiving reproof, and arrogance keeps us from accepting reproof. People who will not accept reproof, they get hurt a lot in life. They find themselves running behind in life, always feeling like things are not going their way. Now, they won't accept the reason why. It is because of so many times being corrected and not accepting it. But if you will not receive reproof, you're not going to be everything God wanted you to be, nor will you accomplish everything God wanted you to accomplish. The correction is not to destroy you. It's to help you. It's not to break you down. It's to make you into something. That's what correction is for. I'm going to review very quickly and remind you of what I said last week in regard to reproof or correction. I said, number one, to reject reproof is a major personal flaw or an error. An error. That's because Proverbs 10:17 says, He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Erreth. It is an error to refuse reproof. That's where I talked about, you know, when you're playing baseball, if they hit the ball to you and you drop it, and you were to catch that ball and throw them out or catch the fly ball so they're out, you drop the ball, that's an error. You made a mistake. It hurts you. It hurts the whole team. And when we don't take reproof properly, we're hurting ourselves. We're hurting the whole team involved. But the Bible says it's a great error to not receive reproof well. Secondly, I told you, people who hate reproof are animalistic. Actually, the Bible calls them brutish. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." The word brutish, you've heard someone talk about someone being bullheaded. It can go too far. The word brutish means as mean as a bull and as stubborn as a bull. And so when you're to be corrected and you don't take the correction, God is virtually saying you're acting like a barn animal. And so that's what brutish means. Then, we discovered last week, the Bible says people who hate correction are people who have forsaken right. They're off the proper path of life. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:10, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. When you're right with God, when you've been reading your Bible, when you've been praying, when you are right with God, you've been in church, you're in submission to the Scripture, you take correction better. People that are not right with God don't take correction quite as well. And that's what it's talking about. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. What way? The way of righteousness. Then, in the second half of that verse, it tells us, and this is point number four, people who hate correction, they can die from it. It says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. In other words, if God tries to reprove you, and you will not listen, you will not be corrected, you can die because of it. Then, we found out number five, reproof rejectors have an absence of love in their life. The Bible says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go into the wise. So here the Bible's telling us that when someone is rejecting reproof, they're scorning the reproof, that they're not going to love the person that's correcting them. There's an absence of love in the life. And the Bible even says, if you're bad enough, someone can correct you. It's not just an absence of love. It's the presence of hate because somebody corrected you. And that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. Then the last point that I gave you last week, I told you that reproof rejectors usually don't take their gripes to the right people. They don't take their gripes in life to the wise. They take their gripes in life to the foolish people. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 15. Verse number 12, it says, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Here, a reproof rejecter looks for someone that will agree with them, and they'll look for the foolish people to converse with, to get their advice from. A wise person is not afraid to go to someone that might disagree with them. Because they want to know the truth. They want to handle their decisions right in life. There are some people that will not ask me what is right because they already know the answer. They already know what I'm going to say. And so they avoid that. So they'll search around till they find someone that will agree with them. Folks, when you're seeking advice, don't look for agreement. Look for truth. Look for truth. You say, but that truth, I don't want to hear that truth. What we want to hear and what is right can be two totally different things. All right, now, with all that in mind, let me give you some more information tonight about our relationship with reproof or correction. This would actually be, as we continue the outline, point number seven, people who have to be repeatedly reproved get harder and harder to help, sometimes to the point of self-destruction. People who have to repeatedly be reproved or corrected can get harder and harder, and sometimes to their own self-destruction. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 1. The Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So here is someone that is needs reproved, and they don't listen, and then they need reproved again, and they don't listen. So what's happening? They're becoming more and more tense, and the Bible says they're hardening their neck, Can you picture someone just tightening up their muscles? You ever seen someone that's mad enough that they're just tightening up like this? That's almost happening to them emotionally or spiritually. They're almost becoming brittle in this anger. And it says they hardened their neck. And then it says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. So what happens? Well, some destruction can come. He has become so intense about correction. They're not going to put up with it. They're not going to listen to it. They're going to do what they want. Then notice it says they shall suddenly be destroyed. Now, that suddenly is not God's suddenly. God doesn't say, hup, gotcha. Oh, I wasn't planning on doing that. That's not how God works. God knows where he's going. The suddenly is for the reproof rejector. You say, why? Because they're totally convinced they're okay. You're not going to tell me. 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 You're not going to correct me. You're not going to correct me. You're not going to correct me. And then the destruction comes, or the spanking comes from God, and they go, where'd that come from? Well, you were told the same thing over and over and over again. You wouldn't listen. The suddenly is they're shocked because they've allowed themselves to believe that all the reproof that had come their way, that it was not just. It's not right. Well, God's always just. God's always right. And so they are shocked so many times that why'd that happen? Well, it happened because an authority tried to tell you, God tried to tell you, the scripture tried to tell you, the preaching tried to tell you, your mom tried to tell you, your dad tried to tell you, a friend tried to tell you, and you wouldn't listen. And you thought that you were right, you were right, you were right, when God was trying to say you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong. And then suddenly God brings the hammer down and you go, what happened there? And God said, well, wake up, wake up. So people who have to repeatedly be told that something is wrong, they harden themselves to it to the point that they're oblivious to the fact that they're wrong. And then God will come along and get their attention. Let me go on. Number 8. The reason why some people hate reproof is because they've developed into having an evil attitude or an evil way about them. Now, so you all know, the term evil is a scary word. And I'm not talking about witchcraft scary. I'm talking about mega spiritual wrong scary. The word evil and sin are different. But some people, they don't take reproof because now they've developed evil in their attitude. They've developed an evil lifestyle. In John chapter 3, verse number 20, it says, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. There's the reproof. Because you're becoming evil, the reproof is not it's not making an impact on you. Now, evil is when we're out to do something for us, and it doesn't matter to us if we hurt somebody else. Evil is not just sin. Evil is when, hey, if you get mad enough at somebody, you don't care that evil comes upon them. Matter of fact, you would coax that evil into their life. Reproof rejectors are not just sinners. The Bible says they're becoming evil. Sin is when you don't follow the law of God and you hurt you. Evil is when you are actually out and you're willing to hurt somebody else, and it doesn't bother you to hurt somebody else for you to have what you want or for you to do what you want. So be careful now. If someone pushes reproof away, they're liable to develop an evil attitude in their life. This is something I face constantly as a pastor. My job is to go through life telling people the truth. Some people do not like to hear the truth. You tell people the truth enough, there are people that will hate you because you told them the truth. You will become the victim of the evil because you... Hey, and so you all know something? If I wanted to change my mind about certain things, I could not and be true to God. I didn't write the book. I just preach it. It's a good thing God didn't leave me in charge, because to get to everybody like me, I'd say, oh, you go do what you want. Just don't hate me for it. But I'm not. I can't do that. My responsibility is to tell you the difference between right and wrong, and doesn't matter how many times you talk to me about it, I'll tell you the same thing. If this is right, it's right, and if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's in the Bible, I'm not the one that wrote the rules. I'm just the one that tells you what the rules are. And what happens is, though, if you tell people the difference between right and wrong, they'll begin to hate you because you don't change to see it their way. And therein comes evil toward the man of God, or evil toward the person that's standing for righteousness. And the Bible says that happens. Let's go on. Number 9. People do not want to be reproved because they don't want their wrong to be revealed. And that makes sense. I hate having my wrong revealed. And the Bible teaches that the reason why we don't like reproof is because reproof means we're wrong. Now our wrong has been revealed. It's at least been publicized to us, if not to others. The Bible says in John chapter 30, verse number 20, it says, "Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Now, understand something here. Something coming to the light means it's made known. And so if what they want to do is what they want to do, they don't want someone to reveal what they want is wrong. So they will not come to the light so that they can be reproved for it. So when we want our way, we want our way. And if we're not careful, when someone tries to reprove us, we get angry because it shows we're wrong. Now, none of us like to be told that we're wrong, but that's what reproof does. Now, if I can, for the last part of this lesson, I want to show you the right attitudes and the right results of proper relationship with reproof, or with those who reprove us. Let me backtrack. I'll remind you, I said this. To reject reproof, it's a major personal flaw or error in our lives. Number 2, people who won't take reproof, the Bible calls them animalistic or brutish. Number 3, people who hate correction have forsaken the way of God. That's what's caused their attitude to get bad about correction. Number 4, people who won't take correction could die from it if it's let go enough. Number 5, reproof rejectors have an absence of love toward people in their life. Number 6, reproof rejectors usually look for someone that will agree with them. They will not go to the wise when it comes to their issue. They'll go to others that think like them. Number 7, people who have repeatedly been reproved can get harder and harder, and that to the point of self-destruction. And then when it comes to them, it's sudden. What's going on here? And God's saying, I've been patient and patient and patient, but you were convinced you were right, and you need to be corrected. Number 8, the reason why some people hate reproof is because they've developed evil. And be careful, if somebody corrects you and you're not happy about it, you want to be careful not to become evil toward that person and start to hate that person, because that evil will not stay pointed toward one person. Before long, you'll be evil toward many people in life. Number 9, people don't want to be reproved because it reveals their wrong. It brings to light their wrong, and nobody likes their right to be made their wrong to be publicized. Now, what I want to do, and I won't take a long time for it, but I do have a few verses I want to share with you about the right attitude toward correction, the good or the proper results of accepting reproof. And we're supposed to have a good attitude about reproof. So let's start this way. If you can accept reproof properly, it could keep you alive. Reproof could spare your life. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So here, God said, if you take reproof right, it is the way of life. In other words, reproof will help keep you alive. There's two applications to the words there, the way of life. First of all, reproof will make your way of life prosperous. But not only that, taking reproof well could keep you alive. There are just some times, I remember this, and I think I used a little bit of this illustration one time many, many months ago. There was a young man that worked in a machine shop with us. There was a big mill that had a great big cutter on it. And I'm talking about the kind of cutter that when it takes a swack at a big chunk of steel, it just cuts the steel right off like a butter knife. And it was a rotating mill, and there was a great big cutter. And this is what was said. All the bosses told everybody, you are never to wear long sleeve shirts when you're running that mill. Well, there was a kid in the shop. He's huge. He's about 6'6". And this is what I heard him say. I heard him say the reason they tell us not to wear the long sleeve shirts is because if that mill got a hold of our shirt, it would pull us into that cutter and we could get hurt. But he was 6'6". He probably weighed about 300 pounds. And I'm talking about this guy was tough. And I heard him say, I'm stronger than the sleeve of my shirt. About 18 months in, when the cutter got a hold of his shirt and started to pull his body in and end up with well over 100 stitches and it almost took his life, he learned that he's not stronger than the direction of the reproof that was given him. It could have taken his life. So, what am I telling you? Reproof, correction, that kind of instruction, it will make your life more prosperous. Not only that, it could save your life. I mean, if somebody's trying to tell you the bridge is out, it might be wise for you to listen. Okay, so what are good results? What are good attitudes? What are the good things that come from accepting reproof? If you've got a good relationship with reproof, what's the result? Next, I think you could find yourself in a position of being honored because you took reproof well. In Proverbs 13:18, it says, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. So, you know, our mind tells us, well, if I get reproved, that's not honor. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, and our ways are not his ways. According to this, when we get reproved, if we take reproof properly, here it says they shall be honored. You say, well, who's going to honor me if I go to get reproved and I take it well and have a good attitude? Oh, nobody but God. Which, by the way, is the one you ought to be most concerned with. Not your friends, not your peers. But here it says taking reproof right could create honor in one's life. You say, well, how is that? Well, I'll tell you this. If you're trying to learn to succeed in life and somebody comes along and shows you what will minimize your success, they try to correct you, they try to reprove you so that you can maximize your success. If you don't listen, you just hurt yourself. But if you listen, you could be exalted into positions of honor because you let reproof make you. You let reproof improve you. You let reproof make you strong. Reproof. Rejectors are weak. They're weak. Reproof receivers, it takes a lot of dignity. It takes probably a lot of strength and self-control to have somebody correct you and tell you you're wrong and you to take it. Young people rebelling against mom and dad because they reproved you, that makes you weak. Obeying mom and dad and submitting to mom and dad when they reprove you, that makes you strong. That makes you strong. So, I said, right results, the right attitude, the good that comes from accepting correction, the Bible says, it could keep you alive. Secondly, you could get honor out of it. Thirdly, I think people that receive reproof properly probably are more prudent in life or they make better decisions. Let me read a verse to you. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 5, the Bible says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Prudent. In other words, you get reproved, and God said you behave right toward that reproof, it will increase the prudence of your life. And I realize the word prudence is not a word that we use a lot in our society. Prudence means one who makes decisions that will be profitable. I was talking to one of our good men this week, and he told me about a situation, and the truth of the matter is it was probably an unfair situation to him. And he said to me, he said, it was unfair, but I tried to do the prudent thing in my response. Boy, I love that. I love that. That's how it's supposed to be. Prudence is when we make decisions that are profitable decisions. A lack of prudence is when you make a decision and you're emotional about it and you do it in a rage. You do it when you're angry. You do it when you're stingy. You do it when you're in the flesh. But here, God tells us that one that regards reproof is both exercising and growing their prudence. If for no other reason, when someone goes to correct me and I respond right, I have been prudent in my response. I'm proving prudence while growing prudence in my life. When I was in high school, it didn't take me very long to realize there was a right and a wrong way to respond to my gym teacher. My gym teacher was a basketball coach. And I remember when we went in as freshmen the very first day, everybody was full of energy. I remember a kid, we were getting ready. Y'all know what a killer drill is. I don't know what you all call it, but that's where you stand at the baseline, you go down to the foul line, then you run back, then you run down to the 10-second line, then you run back, then you run all the way to the half-court line, then you run back, then you run the second 10-second line, then you run back, then you run all the way down to the foul line, then you run back, then you run all the way down to the end of the court and all the way back. We called them killer drills. Suicide, that's just like getting killed. But I will never forget. Anybody else call it something else? Terrible. I remember it. But we were all standing there. We were all lined up. And Coach Stanley said, okay, when I blow the whistle, we're going to do a killer drill. Anybody that doesn't come back cross line in 60 seconds, you will run again. Do you hear me? He had a little military in him. And so I'm looking over. And there's this little kid. I think his name was Timmy. And he's over there going, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And I'm thinking, and all of a sudden Coach Stanley looks over. And all the guys went, and little Timmy's over there with his back turned to the coach, going, can you hear me? Can you hear me? 60 seconds or less. And I watch a coach walk right up behind him. And he's still doing his little gyration. He turned around and he went, man, it was something. Can I tell you? We ran our killer drill. And then Timmy ran another one. And another one. You say, how many? I don't know, because the coach sent everybody else to the locker room. When we came out after showers, Timmy was on the sideline going, regarding reproof is a real good decision. If you don't believe me, ask Timmy. The right attitude toward reproof will help keep you alive and make your life more fulfilling. The right attitude toward reproof can actually bring honor to your life because reproof will make you. It's not there to destroy you. The right attitude toward reproof is a proof of and the building up of prudence in one's life. Then, the right attitude, the right response to reproof will give you understanding in life. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The best way for me to explain this, God is promising if you respond properly to being corrected, if you respond properly to reproof, your understanding of life will be increased. Now, I think for me, when I look at that verse, it says to me, if I get corrected and I have the right attitude toward that correction, the issue about which I was being corrected, I then gather understanding. Do you know people that don't receive correction in a given area don't usually walk away understanding that area better? They walk away rebellious, set in their way. When somebody corrects you and you listen, you are developing an understanding of the subject, the topic, the situation in which the correction was given. There is a reason why we're corrected. There is a reason why we're told we did wrong. In God's economy, He tells us we're wrong because He loves us. He tells us we're wrong to help us. God is not in the arrogant business where He's just walking around trying to let everybody say, I'm always right, I'm always right, I'm always right, I'm always right. No, God is bigger than that. He knows He's always right. He loves us. And for all of us, our correction is never to be all about you being right. Correction is all about helping people. When I correct my children, it's not because I'm right. No, I correct my children because I love them and I want them to do right. And so that's what correction is. That's what correction is for. So the Bible tells us if we hear reproof, we get understanding. Reproof helps us to understand life. People that don't take reproof well, they really don't understand life well. Let me go on, and I've just got a couple more and we'll be done. Next, I believe that reproof will help you to become wise, and it will hinder foolishness from becoming a part of your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:31, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Now, the opposite of a wise person is a foolish person. Being a fool is a very dangerous thing. And we could teach for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. We probably have 50 or 60 lessons just on the subject of the fool in the Bible. God talks about it all the time. Here the Bible tells us, those that hear the reproof of life abideth among the wise. In other words, if you will take reproof, it will develop your wisdom. It will also keep you from behaving foolishly in many areas of life. So if you don't want to be a fool, make sure you receive correction. Make sure you receive reproof properly. Let's see if I can give you a couple more and then we'll be done. You say, well, you say that all the time. I know, it just keeps you on the hook. Okay? We said the right result, the right attitude toward correction, the benefits of it, if you will. Proverbs 6:23, it'll keep you alive. Proverbs 13:18, you could be honored. Proverbs 15:5, it develops your prudence. Proverbs 15:32, it increases your understanding. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, it will help you to become wise and not be foolish. Then, next, Proverbs 19:25 says, "Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge." Here the Bible is telling us, our general knowledge in life. Now, I think there's a difference in understanding and knowledge. You can have the knowledge of something, but not necessarily have an understanding of that knowledge. I think those two words are a little bit different. Now, here God is saying, He earlier told us we could get understanding, we could get wisdom, we could get prudence. Now there's another quality here. It's knowledge. And I think the Bible tells us here that if you will take reproof well, your general knowledge can be increased. Your general knowledge will be blessed. Hey, you just go to school, don't take reproof well, you're not going to do as well in school, in your testing, and you're just gathering general knowledge. You don't usually find your rule breakers, you know, having a 4.0 grade point average at the possibility of a 4.0 level. It's not usually the case. People that won't listen to correction are not usually the ones that are on the dean's list. Now, I know there's some that are brilliant rebels, but for the most part, people that won't listen to correction well are not the people that have the greatest knowledge, They're not the people with the greatest understanding. They're not the people that are dripping with wisdom in their decisions. They're not the people that are prudent and successful in life. So, everybody here has a relationship with correction or a relationship with reproof. Stop and think about something. How many times has God tried to correct you about the same old thing? Now, the Bible says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. How many times has mom and dad told you the same thing over and over and over again? Stop that, stop that, stop that, stop that, stop that, and you don't listen. That's dangerous. How many times your pastor say, "Now you shouldn't be thinking that way. Now you shouldn't be thinking that way. Now you shouldn't be thinking that way." But you persist. That is rejecting reproof. And you heard tonight and last week, get in a lot of trouble if you reject reproof. But wait a minute, tremendous benefits if you will receive reproof the right way. And all of us need to work, I'm sure. Even if you're not what we would call a public rebel, we're all private rebels. Everybody here has something in your life that ought not be there. Every single person. Be careful if God goes to reprove you, or the Spirit goes to reprove you. Even maybe right now you're thinking, "Oh, wow, I guess that's right." Be careful. That reproof, God does it because He loves you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. If you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But let me say to those of you that are born again Christians, be cautious. God brings reproof through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. And they always agree. The Word of God and Spirit of God always agree. How many times have you been reproved, maybe in the preaching, in the teaching, in your Bible reading, by an authority? By a mom, a dad, a brother. Watch. Be cautious. Reproof is our friend. Boy, we're better off being reproved by those that love us than for us to find ourselves in reproof situations that can be destructive. Who here tonight would say, "Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've learned something. I've been challenged. I can be a better Christian because something I'm going to apply to my life that I learned this evening." Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Lots of hands. God bless you. Just about every hand in the house. I'm going to pray. We're going to have an altar call. If you need to come, you come. Young people, there's some of you. You ought to come down here, get on your knees and say, "Lord, help me to have the right attitude toward correction. Toward my mom, toward my dad, toward teacher, toward any leader in my life." Some of you that are employees, you ought to say, "I need to work on my attitude about reproof and correction." And there are a variety of situations that this could apply to. I can tell you this with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. There's some of you, you're just as blind as you can be. Because the preaching of the Word of God should have helped you a long time ago. But you're not listening. You're just not listening. Let God help you. Father, take the lesson, use it to get glory to thyself, please. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Mrs. Young, play a song of invitation. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. He that reproveth the scorner getteth himself a shame. He that rebuketh a wise man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in learning. It's an error to refuse reproof. We become animalistic when we refuse reproof. We've forsaken our walk with God when we're guilty of refusing correction. We could even die by refusing correction. There's a lack of love in the life of one that will not take correction. Those that don't take correction right, that refuse it, find themselves running to others who are misbehaving rather than running to the righteous. If you're not careful, you'll get harder and harder and harder, harder to help, and you could suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Be careful, you'll develop an evil attitude. We don't want our wrong revealed. Oh, but if we can take it, if we'll do right, we'll have a better life, an honored life, a prudent life. We'll develop understanding and wisdom. We'll not be foolish, and we'll get the understanding of life that it takes to be successful. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you have prayer bulletins ready, we'll get them to those that might need them.